Chillax, a podcast where you listen to this, our boy talk about life, news, and anything interesting. Welcome back, everyone, to a new episode of the Chillax podcast. I think my voice might be a little bit off. I'm still recovering from the sickness. You know, unfortunately, when I was in Australia, I got sick. I think on the first day, even before I fly, I already got sore throat already, and I hated it, man. I think I got it from office, and shouldn't I have gone to office that week? On Tuesday, I got it. Then when I fly on Thursday or Friday, then the whole, I think the sickness, the virus kind of marinated and it became like real now. Like I literally got it after 3 days. But I mean, overall, the trip was still great. I managed to recover quite quickly. Then I think near the end, I was just having some, little bit of cough and some sinus block, which is not that bad. I can still smell some stuff. So as far as, you know, this episode goes, it will just be all about Australia, about my time there. And, you know, I think it's gonna be a long one, but I'm not quite sure how long, because my voice might give way, you know. Then I can't even go on really. So I think my voice is at this point a little bit like husky, right? But it's all right, I have everything planned out, and hopefully I can finish everything before my voice goes out all the way. Yeah. So overall, I think to really start things off, right, Australia didn't really meet my expectations. Honestly, I didn't really have an expectations on the trip, like, you know, how it should look like, how it should feel like, or how I should experience it. I just kind of held the trip at a higher regard, like an achievement. So if you listen to the previous episodes, I talk about it like, you know, it's a significant milestone, because I recall, you know, last time when I was young, meeting with my cousins, my aunt, which is relatively well off, all of their kids, not really all of them, I think one or two of them managed to go to Australia to study, which is nice. Study to be a vet, study to be a doctor, which is amazing. The usual, like, high SES, amazing, like, very well off. They can go overseas to study instead of studying in Singapore. And even before that, they really gone to Australia to vacation, to go on vacation. And that was like, oh my god, they get to go there. And meanwhile, where do we get to go? Malaysia. The most you can go is Genting. And I saw that as a milestone and achievement, and I kind of went in with that kind of, like, I guess, positive hope and everything, but I didn't really have a clear idea of what is going to happen there. So overall, the experience, I think, was basically shaped by what I did there, and I would say it was fruitful. I felt like I did a lot of things, I seen a lot, and it was great. It was a very unique kind of experience, like how I would say for Vietnam, or when I go to France, or when I went to Dubai. It was different, very different from how I usually experience or enjoy overseas trip. So let's just talk about what I did. I have a list of the things that I did, just so that I don't forget. So overall, I will just list out the things that I did, and I will just talk about them. I mean, as we all know, Australia, a lot of good bars, a lot of cafes. These are the most generic things that we did. But overall, it's nice. It's definitely quite interesting in the sense where they have a lot of space, right? Australia is huge. And all these, like, bars, they're usually situated in, like, huge land, you know. Usually you have to drive there. It's not, like, accessible. The ones that we went to is not accessible via public transport. So we drove there. And they are huge, man, and they are huge enough that you have outdoor seatings, indoor seatings to really enjoy the sun, the cool weather. And they also have a playground at all of these bars, these huge bars. Like, I would call them breweries instead of bars, so, but they serve beer, alcohol, and all these things. And there will always be this huge playground, like legit, like Singaporean size, like your void deck playground. And then the parents will bring their kids along. Then they'll let their kids wander off, you know. Unlike, like, Asian parents, they will, like, keep on the lookout, looking at the kids at the playground, making sure that they don't fall down or whatever, like helicopter parents like that. But in Australia, they just let the kid run around, you know. We were at this brewery that was like a slope that goes all the way down before it goes to the playground. The slope, I would say, is decently steep, like about 60 degree kind of steep. And the kid just running down, you know, up and down, and he fell down and he just continued. And the parents didn't even bat an eye, you know, which is quite amazing. They let the kid explore, and that, I think that part really is kind of nice to see that. Then you can see the contrast. Some Asian tourists are there. Then you see the kid, like, I don't know, they don't really stray off that much, but the Ang Moh kids were the ones that were running off. Drinks wise, it was pretty good. I mean, they brew their beer in-house and everything. The hazy IPAs, the ones that are like hazy sours and anything that's India pale ale, tastes pretty good. They have the fruity flavor, pine cone, I think pine tree kind of taste, that kind. Lagers, I never really tried it. I just took the opportunity to drink all the stronger ones, get drunk, feel a little bit of the buzz. And I would say the food there, interestingly, I wouldn't say it's interesting, it's kind of expected. In Australia, Ang Moh, big size, their food portion is extremely huge. Their food expensive, about close to $20 and above. They don't have $15 kind of, like $12, $15 kind of food. But $20 has a lot of food. Like the burger is huge. The fries portion is even larger. And I can never finish it. And, you know, I think the first time when I go to the brewery, I got like burger. I think I, you know, no. I got burger, fries. Hey, no, I didn't get burger and fries. I think it was the first time when I go to a breakfast place. I ate their big breakfast. Their big breakfast really is legit big breakfast. And that was where I first got introduced to the Australian size. And I couldn't finish it. And somehow I had coffee also. And then subsequently, I went to eat some other meals in the afternoon. I forgot what it was. And the portion was huge as well. And I still got like one pint of drink, you know. Usually you get one pint, should be good enough, right? And you'll feel just full, not bloated to the point that where you want to die, that kind. But here, the food portion was so huge that I got one pint. I literally couldn't finish my food already, along with the one pint. And end up, right, I had to waste the food. So I think later in the trip, I kind of learned that the good thing there is they offer different sizes. They got pint, they got like a middle of a pint, and then they got the smaller, even smaller version, which is like about 200 ml kind. So I will just go for the midi. I think there's a midi, there's another level, and then there's a pint. And then, you know, from then onwards, I just keep on drinking smaller pints because I really want to drink everything, but it's too much. And that's why they also have like another kind of version, like paddle. So if you want to try everything, you have small, like larger, two times the size of a short cup. Then you have different beers to try on a like a chopping board kind. They put all these small cups with different beers to try. Yeah, so the tactic at the end of the day, right, was to eat small bites, because their small bites is huge bites in an Asian sense. And then I drink small pints of beers to try everything, because the trip right at some point was like just purely eating, you know, just eat drink. There really wasn't much activity at certain points, so that was how I paced myself. And some of the breweries are also, besides the playground, they also had a golf range. That was the interesting one also. That was a very different experience where, you know, I went to the golf range previously. Usually you just hit into the grass field, right? But this one, you get to hit into a giant pond. And that was quite cool because they have different metal beer keg that separates the different distance, right? Then people try and hit the ball into the beer keg and make that metal sound. And that was pretty nice to be able to play in Australia, cool weather, and hitting balls into a pond, which is a very unique experience. Everybody who was playing golf there were pretty good though. Surprisingly, a lot of Ang Mohs were all very, very good there. I suppose it's kind of self-selection, right? If you are going to play there, you most likely know how to play golf. Like, I mean, and I had some practice before I came, so I wasn't embarrassing myself that much. Yeah, then aside from that, I would say there's also the great service as well, as far as like shops goes, food, bars, cafes, service are usually, I would say, it's not perfect to the extent like Japan where they are all very courteous, but about 30 to 40% of the time, they are very nice and they'll ask you, how are you? And they look genuine. They don't look like they don't care. Like usually Americans, like when you speak to them in Singapore, if you have an opportunity or they really come across as like, they just say, how are you? Just for the sake of it. Then you can kind of tell, right? If you speak with enough angmohs, but in these bars, food, F&B settings, 30% of the time, generally they ask, right? With an interest of like really want to know. So that was nice. But there are of course still times where they just ask for the sake of asking. But it's kind of nice to contrast with Singapore because people don't do that. And to be asked, how are you? And to return the favor, feels like a kind of a nice feeling to have when you just frequent like a place, you know. Yeah. Besides that, I think there was the what was it again? Another thing that's quite interesting. Besides drinking, no, I think I should talk about drink. There was another interesting thing that happened, which is we witnessed a theft. People stealing stuff, you know. And it was such a huge hoo-ha. It was quite funny where we were drinking at this like near this coast area, like near the boat side area, and everybody was there chilling. I think it was a weekend or something. And there were a lot of families around and a bunch of like young punk, angmoh young punk, stole somebody's bag. I'm not sure who stole whose bag, but he was stealing a bag from this old lady and then they run off. Then there was another guy that was trying to take back the bag, another adult. And then I think he managed to catch one of the culprits because it's a bunch of kids on the bike, right? On the bicycle. Then he catch one of the kids, right? Wow, then he tore the kid's shirt apart, man. And he literally like pushed the kid all the way to the ground. And I think he punched him on the ground, like, you know, a UFC fight like that, MMA. The person down already, right? Then you just give one another punch to let him just like cannot move anymore. And that was crazy. Then they call police and everything. But I don't really know what was the full story. And then we have like a couple of Sikhs, like, you know, the India Sikh, like Singh, you know, the turban people, the people who wear turban, they come and peacemaker and then they help the police and everything. So that was quite an interesting one. Yeah. And then the beer near the coast was quite nice. It was, I forgot what was the brewery. There was some peach IPA. It tasted like peach and cream, which was nice. And I think aside from that, we tried other food like, there was a toast place. We went to a toast face griller, they call it. So it's toast and a face, F-A-C-E, griller as in G-R-I-L-L-A-H. So they make cheese sandwiches, grilled cheese sandwich, which was pretty nice, amazing. They toast it very crispy. The cheese is salty and gooey, which is amazing. Besides food, bars and cafe, another one of the main, I would say this is the significant, the biggest highlight, was the Perth Royal Show. I wasn't expecting, I didn't know that we were going there, but it was a once in a year kind of event. It's like a giant Pasar Malam, but it's a Westerner Pasar Malam. If you have seen before videos or movies of people in US, they have their own kind of like night market, right? You have like all these games, all these like, I don't know, like Uncle Ringo kind of game. And then they have all these corn dogs. It's literally like that. It's an angmoh version of the Pasar Malam. It lasts for about a week, if I'm not wrong. Then you need to pay $25 to enter. But they have a lot of things to do there. You have drone show, fireworks, log cutting competition, petting zoo, band performances. There's a lot of food as well. It's like corn dogs. I think potato. Slushies, fruit juices, and some goodie bags. I think what was interesting is like they have all this log cutting, which is quite funny to see. I think another interesting one was they have this rows of stores that sells goodie bag, which is pretty funny. I thought it was some sort of game, you know, because I saw different kind of theme like Marvel, Minecraft, and there were all these items on it. And I thought you need to throw some sort of dart to get the prizes, but apparently it's like a thematic goodie bag. So if you've been in Japan before, they have this like year-end goodie bag where they stuff all the unwanted shit into it. Then you just buy, it's random, right? Like gacha like that. And in this case, they have such a thing, and people actually buy it. You have kids buying it, like a Minecraft theme bag where they have different Minecraft goodies. So that was quite interesting to see. And I think the main highlight was fireworks, because usually I'm not really a fan of fireworks. I don't really care. It's just things exploding. It always looks the same. Nothing very fascinating, right? Because it's so far away. I think the only one that is fascinating is the China Beijing 08 one that just kept going, and they have a lot of interesting patterns. But this one was really, this stuck out to me as one of the best one, because the fireworks was literally directly in front. So they put it at the center stage where everybody was set that surrounded it, because that's where they run all the petting, not petting zoo, they run all the competition, the band part. And the fireworks are literally like maybe 100 meters away only. And then you can see the fireworks shoot up. But usually in Singapore, you see like National Day one is somewhere hidden. You don't know where, you don't even see it. But this one was so in front that if you run down, right, you can potentially get hit by the fireworks. And it was amazing to see fireworks happening so up close. It looks way, way, way better as compared to seeing fireworks far away. And even though the fireworks wasn't like crazy, a lot of different patterns, but it was nice because it was so close. Yeah. So this was quite a good show. $25 AUD for AUD as in Australia dollars. To see all these things is good enough, really. Food wise, you kind of expect it's Australian prices, right? So you have your food usually at about $7 to $15 kind of range. You have your meals, like your burritos, even more expensive, like $15 to $20. But overall, it's the kind of experience, once in a lifetime experience, that you will never witness it unless you specifically go out of the way for it. And it's like one of those shows in the city, not really in the city, it's near the outskirts, and it happens once in a year. You literally have everybody in Perth coming, and that was quite interesting to see different families and everything. Yeah, and you don't really see a lot of tourists there, which is quite nice. I mean, to really experience how a local what a local would do. Yeah, so besides that, Perth Royal Show, if you want to search it out, you can go and search. I think it's PERTHROYAL and show, SHOW. Yeah. Then I think next one is, we drove to, I think, Lancelin and Pinnacles. It's like quite a far place where they have a lot of rock formation. We did sandboarding. The rock formation was nice to see rocks, erected rocks. I mean, it was quite a different kind of experience to see different formation, if you like nature. And then sandboarding was absolutely painful. I think we went around the time where it was cold weather but transitioning to hot weather. So some days, right, which is the day when we go to sandboarding, was extremely hot. I think about Singapore level, and almost died there, man. It was painful, sandboarding. I would go? Not really. But I think it was an experience to say I conquered it. I seen it, I conquered it. Another one that was interesting was the night sky trip. It was near the rock formation, so we paid for this trip about $60 per person. So you got to see the sky, the stars, the planets, and then they also cook like very nice sausages for us, which was pretty funny that this trip, normally you wouldn't expect a trip, these kind of things, to have good food, right? But it was great. It was great. The sausage was very nice. We managed to see some emu. You really don't see these kind of things. I mean, especially in the desert, right? You don't really see any kind of life there. We were quite lucky to see emu walking around. And then we tried lobster shack. It was alright. Lobsters, lobster sandwiches was alright. I think the one that was very annoying that stuck out was the flies. Because I think during hot weather and the day, right, all these kind of flies, their flies are damn huge also, and it makes a buzzing bee-like kind of flying insect noise that I keep on thinking is bees. And usually when you have bees or hornets, right, you will just kind of swing your hand around and avoid it. But they are all flies that make this kind of noise that, I don't know, maybe deep down I kind of have a instinct to avoid it, and it becomes so annoying because these flies will keep keep hunting you, you know, non-stop, going, touching your face, and I just couldn't stand the entire trip. Yeah, but at night you just kind of go to sleep lah, but the flies was annoying. Then I heard that these flies will come out even more during summer. Everywhere will be the flies during summer, which is good lah. I mean, lucky we go before summer. I don't think I want to go so hot, you know, like during hot, such a hot weather. Yeah, so beyond that, I think we also tried another kind of nature kind of thing, where we drove down to Margaret River as well. We stayed there, and there was like some camping spot where, you know, there was like, you can either live in a tent or can live in the house, and it's nice to see, to stay in a not humid weather kind of camping thing. Because I mean, we all experienced before, somewhat experienced before, Singapore camping, wet, disgusting, muddy. But I mean, it's a different kind of scenario in Australia, where it's dry. The scenery looks way better than rainforest Singapore. And the weather is cool, cold, nice, drinking hot cup of tea, watching the sunrise. It was great. It was great. And you have different options. If you want to stay in the wilderness, you have a tent. If you want to stay in a mixed kind of version, hybrid, you can have a house. But it was in a house in a kind of wilderness area. So we stayed in the house because I don't think I can stay in a tent. Yeah. And then we went to had some wine as well, nearby wine yard. It's nice. Just sitting, picnicking, sitting on the grass, drinking wine. Their wine, very cheap and also very tasty, which was very surprising. Because I think in Singapore, I tried a couple of wine before and it tasted horrible, man. It tasted horrible. Yeah. The NTUC's one. Yeah, the ones that I tried it from. Then we went to museums, a lot of museums. Quite interesting. I mean, the museums are pretty nice. They show like Australia, because Perth is near kind of the coast. So we also went to these coastal areas that has a lot of like water, coastal theme history. Pretty interesting. A lot of fun things to learn. And we had fish and chips. Wow, we had a nearby fish and chips that was nearby a museum. Yeah, a lot of good reviews. I think it's Fish Lane House. Amazing. I think it was a UK kind of fish and chips, and it was like literally the best fish and chips I ever tasted. If you have tried Fish & Co, Manhattan Fish Market, let's rate that as 4 or 5 at best. The one I tried was 10. Crispy, light. They have gravy, curry, their brown sauce gravy, completely different from Singapore. Similar to the Vietnam one I tried, the Canadian gravy. Very thick, very umami filled flavor, which was amazing. The fries, crispy and fluffy on the inside. We use that term for fries a lot. But never have I ever tried something that tasted exactly like how people describe a fry. And this was legit, tasted crispy on the outside and fluffy on the inside, which was mind-blowing. I never had such a fries before, when people keep on saying like, you know, the fries was nice, crispy on the outside, fluffy on the inside, but it never is. And when you really taste the fluffy on the inside, you really know that moment. Then I think aside from that, there was a Fremantle market. Overall, Fremantle market is kind of like a Sunday market, like a Bugis Street kind of situation. And Ang Mo Bugis Street, I guess. Overall, I mean, it was kind of a small market. You walk very, very fast, walk finish. Nothing interesting to buy. I mean, there are some popcorn, homemade popcorn stuff. They got a store that sells egg sandwiches, like egg slut. They call it egg drop, I think. Then we tried a Brazilian grill. Pretty great, pretty good. I think anything Mediterranean, Hispanic grilled meats are salty, well marinated, damn nice, I like it. Then aside from Fremantle market, we also experienced a lounge. Like what I mentioned, I got the credit card recently, and there was a free lounge pass, so it was nice to experience lounge. Not too bad. Free food really kind of gives you an idea of why people buy lounge passes. It's like you can sit there, eat whatever you want, enjoy a good view, the one that we went to in Perth was pretty good. They don't have like meals there. There were some small bites, but the lounge was literally next beside the airplane departure runway. And it was like a very cozy, dark, nice environment, like a bar, like that, like very cool, very relaxing. But too bad we didn't have enough time to enjoy it because we entered the airplane quite late because we had dinner. Yeah, the dinner was interesting. We tried some Taiwanese restaurant near the suburbs. And I gotta say, I ate like the fried chicken chow, the zhaji pie. Wow. Amazing how Taiwanese restaurant in Australia tasted better than the one I tried in Taiwan. It was literally the best chicken chow I ever tasted. Much better than the one I tried in Taiwan, man. Which was pretty funny. The milk tea is amazing as well. Yeah. So besides that, we also experienced another interesting thing, which is helping our friend, boyfriend, set up his cafe. He's opening a cafe. He's like starting this cafe up, and he has been doing soft launches, opening a few days. And it was nice to see, you know, how what it takes to set up a cafe, make your own food, make your own yogurt and everything. And it's nice. I think it's kind of very reminiscent of the time when I was working in Starbucks, where we opened a new store. We opened the store at Serangoon Next. And to see what it takes to set up a new store and the kind of camaraderie, teamwork. It's like a fun project. And that's nice. I think the young times, you know, where there's not much responsibilities. But even now, as an adult, I would like to open a cafe also. Because it's kind of a fun experience, you know, to serve people, to have your own, like, very fulfilling, I guess, to create a good store, to provide something meaningful to other people, I guess. Yeah. So, wow, how long have I been talking? 30 minutes. Okay, closing thoughts. I have to say, at first I thought this trip was going to convince me that Australia would be the perfect place to retire, like, any Angmoh country is a perfect place because it's more chill, relaxing, work-life balance. And I guess it's kind of true. I realized that the pace is somewhat slower. We woke up very early and we ended the day very early as well. Most shops close early, but there are still ones that are open. There are like bars or Asian restaurants. Everything is kind of perfect. You know, there's the quiet suburban area that we live. You know, we live with our friends in the suburb. Small, like very angmoh kind of small area lor, with rows of like bungalows, landed property and everything. And the apartment, there are like apartments that are like strata apartment, if I'm not wrong, if that's how that's how my friend described it, that you cannot renovate at all. So it's like essentially ultimate peace, you know. No constant renovation like in Singapore, no constant car noises, no stupid neighbor on top walking like an elephant, you know. Like, no crazy kids wailing, stomping on the floor. And it's perfection. But what really surprised me was the fact that it was strangely uncomfortable for me. I think I got too accustomed to the bustling life of Singapore. Like, we are so packed, so dense in Singapore. And when you step out of the house and go to the mall, all you see is people. You will see people. It is hardly a situation where there is no humans at all. And you'll be hard-pressed to, you know, find no humans, unless it's a midnight situation. And that Australia peacefulness came with this void, this emptiness. There's a lack of life. Humans is very uncomfortable. And imagine if you're here without a friend or family. It's even lonelier, you know, if you don't like to make friends with other people, you're introvert. You see no humans at all throughout the whole day. It's kind of scary. And I realized that even on the weekend, you know, you don't really have the hustle and bustle of the weekend. Like when you go to during a weekend, you go to a mall, go NTUC, buy stuff. Here, it's still pretty sparse actually. And I realized I prefer a combination. I want the bustling life, but the peacefulness of a secluded house, like a penthouse or a service apartment that has no renovation and it's pretty peaceful at night. Without any crazy motorbikes or neighbors going mental, but yet at the same time, I want to be able to enjoy that life, that humans, even though I like staying at home, I think I kind of crave that to some extent. So really, as far as the experience goes for Australia, I enjoyed it. Will I go back? Maybe yes. But it kind of made me also learn that my preference in traveling is also really related to how I want to live my life, in the sense where I like Asian countries more. You know, that whole night market, dense population cities like Taiwan, Bangkok, Japan, humans, things that there are things to do at night. It's amazing as compared to the Europe and Western countries. Pretty cool architecture, very different kind of experience, but overall feels a bit more sparse. Kind of cool. I mean, you kind of idolize it when you are young, when you have all these kind of Angmoh movies. And it's peaceful, but there's something that I crave. The life, the energy of energy is the right word, the right vibe, the energetic vibe of a Taiwan, a Bangkok, and a Japan, that Europe and Western countries don't really have it. Even though you have cities in these countries, these Angmoh countries, but you can't even mimic that sense of chaos that's in these countries though. Yeah, so that's my takeaway. It's nice to go to Australia. I didn't hate it. Not too bad, I enjoyed it. The supermarkets are interesting snacks, everything fun, nice experiences. Very quiet, but there's something missing. Yeah, so overall that's my whole take. And hopefully you guys enjoyed it. And if you have been to Australia, I'm not quite sure what you guys think, what are your experiences. And yeah, I'm keen to hear you guys out. And yeah, the next few weeks, there will be episodes every week already. So no need to be concerned. So yeah, I will see you guys next time.